Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. We're just coming out of the Mick Foley show. Got a little bit of food. We're at Wendy's. So who eats on a podcast?
Drunks. The unemployable. Angry loners.
So I'm okay to eat on one.
You're the hat trick.
We're sitting here
after a very funny show.
Yeah. I wasn't sure about it right away. Because, you know, it just took me a little while to get in the rhythm of the show. Because it isn't jokes, right? And he's kind of saying stuff and it's sort of funny, but you know, he starts referencing stuff. He's a lot of references, obviously, to wrestling and stuff, yeah. You know. But yeah, I mean, it took me a little while to really, really feel the rhythm. But once he got going and once his, like, energy really got up.
And was it a dancer?
What do you mean?
Because I've heard rhythm is a dancer.
Yeah. There's a couple highlights for sure, but it is a very practiced show. No question, I got that feeling.
Oh yeah,
and that's fine, you know. And like I say, it's still not jokes and punchline, It's not. You're not seeing Jerry Seinfeld here, right?
No. He's just telling stories, and he's. I mean, but a lot of them are. Well, I mean, they're all funny. I don't think he fell flat with any of the stories.
No, he didn't fall flat with any of the stories. And the other thing is, he has a way of finding the humor in the situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way he, like, certain things that you can't, like, when he's sitting there and he says to Vince McMahon, talking about being raised, you know, to the ceiling with Santa and his sleigh.
Yeah.
And he goes, listen, you son of a bitch.
He says, we can't do that. He says, listen, you son of a bitch.
It's funny because you can see him doing it, right? Because you can see the person he's interacting with. In your mind, you have the picture.
Yeah.
You know exactly what it is. And he's very great. Mick's really good at telling the story that way, kind of painting the picture.
Yeah.
Letting you know what's going on. So
yeah. Breaking news, Mick Foley is a good promo.
Can you explain what a promo was to a person?
Yeah, promotional interview.
But, you know, it's one thing to go out there and do a 2-minute or 20-minute promo even.
Yeah.
Where you're, where you have a purpose, where it is to further a storyline or to introduce somebody or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's much easier than, I think, I mean, certainly not to keep coming up with them, I suppose, but to go out there and talk for almost 2 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have to entertain every single second, keep our room focused on you every single second.
Yeah.
Because we've all been at those guys who, you know, are giving those speeches for work or whatever like that, and, you know, they're up there, they're talking, and they talk for an hour, and you're falling asleep after 10 minutes.
Wait,
you can't engage you for that long.
I give those speeches.
Well, I know.
Yeah.
I was talking about you.
Yeah, I know. And I revel in it. I turn heel in those things. They're wonderful. But, no, and you can see doing these how he was able to write books.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Not a lot of stories from the books, actually. Just the one, and it was great.
The DDP story.
Yeah, the DDP cookie story.
Yeah.
And what was great was not only is he able to give you a few kind of twists that you didn't get, you know, just see him show an expression or see him just add a little more color to it than even then he was able to when describing it in the book. But the other thing is he took it and gave it a twist because he wasn't going to curse.
He said up front that he wasn't going to swear. I mean, he was the general manager of Saturday Morning Slam, goddammit.
Yeah, exactly. So he couldn't curse. So instead he brought the opening act comedian on to do all the cursing for DDP. The show certainly contained plenty of cursing. And he also stated very clearly when he was saying Fooking,
yes.
Fookin, for
David Boy Smith,
that it was not saying fucking.
No, it was Fooking.
So it was okay.
Fooking on. Look at Fooking on.
Well, what is it that David Boy also used to say about him? What is it? Here we go. Every fucking time.
Yeah, every fucking time. Fucking time.
Fucking Owen. Every fucking time.
Yeah.
So of course somebody was wise enough to ask him about an Owen story. So we got that. That's the type of thing that, you know, be
it
kind
was
of a
little bit of a Q&A after. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It was supposed to be I think a longer Q&A. I think we kind of got that DDP story, which was so great, because he reached into his bag of tricks to fill up the time, because he was expecting to have a longer Q&A, because he had invited Natalia to join him, and she was supposed to be there, and she didn't meet her booking.
Mm-hmm. She's her dad's doll. She's daddy's little girl,
mm-hmm.
and didn't show. But, yeah, I mean, maybe she'll show for the second show. And that's the unfortunate part. You know, I get the feeling that had there not been a second show added, that we would still be there right now.
You know what? I think you're probably right.
You know.
Yeah, they kind of had to hustle us out because they sold this show out and decided to add a second one. And
he said that it wasn't even half sold, so he offered 50% tickets to come back. And we thought about it, but we decided to give you people a podcast instead.
Well, yeah, not only that, but we looked at the lineup.
Yeah, that's fun. Shh.
But, yeah, no, it was... what was your favorite part of the show?
It was when Steve Austin came out. No. No, I think the my favorite part was probably that, you son of a bitch. No, my favorite part actually was the... when he was describing Hulk Hogan's porno. And how he's so old that his dick just can't get up. So the referee runs in and picks up the dick and it drops once. He picks it up again and the dick drops twice. Then he picks the dick up again and all of a sudden it starts shaking.
The little Hulkster.
And then he plays the real American music. And he does the thing. Oh, I howled when I even said to you, I said, well, the ref's got to check it 3 times.
You did, like before, like you knew where he was going right away.
But then I never thought, but then it dawned on me, he's doing the Hulk Hogan comeback with the dick.
Yeah, well, I knew that.
That was funny.
But I didn't expect the music, even though he said there would be a musical cue, because he came out to some music he had no idea what the hell it was.
I was expecting Ass Man.
Well, yeah, I could have seen that.
Yeah.
But, I think actually my favorite thing was something that nobody saw coming, even him, though he managed to use it. He's talking about how much is it if you're on the road, if it's three people dividing a room.
Yeah.
Right? And this guy who had been trying all night to, like, not so much heckle, but just trying to get a reaction from Mick and yelling stuff out, hoping to engage him.
Yeah.
Hoping to have a moment with, like, his hero or whatever. He yells out, 50 or 10, right? And he goes, that's right. And if you have it...
A $30 room split 3 ways is how much? And the guy goes, 10. And he's like, right. And if you split it 2 ways, 5. No. He goes, no. No, stupid.
It's like, yeah. If you're going to yell at a comedy show, don't be stupid.
Yeah. That was good.
And that's the type of thing that it's like,
but just the way
it will never happen at another show, right? Like that was...
The way he reacted so quickly was...
Oh, yeah, that was great.
No.
No.
No, you idiot.
It was so great.
That was funny. But, no, it's definitely, if he comes to a town near you, you definitely got to go see him.
Yeah, I mean, it's $25 Canadian was the price we paid, so, and it's very reasonable. And, like I say, it's a great show for wrestling fans.
Did you get a free picture?
You did, we got a free picture. Yep.
You know, so
got a photograph. I'm not sure if you are, you know, I don't know how much it translates to a non-wrestling fan. Because, I mean, let's face it, I mean, there's not a lot of references that didn't have something to do with wrestling.
No, that's true. But I think he's so kind of, he's charismatic in terms of being an entertainer that his delivery is funny. And he does kind of explain the story. Like, I mean, you don't necessarily need to know. When he was doing the thing where he wouldn't swear and he said "fuck," the other comedian would say "fuck" for him. That was a funny bit, and you didn't need to know who Diamond Dallas Page was to laugh at that bit.
No, probably not. You know? Actually,
so
probably not. Actually, the way he tells it, you're right.
Yeah.
If you never knew who if you know who Diamond Dallas Page is, it might be even funnier. But you didn't need to know, you're right.
Yeah, and I think for some of the stories, and again, everybody knows who Hulk Hogan is. Knows that he had the sex tape. Mm-hmm. Now, the whole dropping the arm 3 times doing the Hogan comeback might not be as...
it might not be as accessible to people.
As funny.
Yeah.
But again, he's got a good delivery with it, right? So, you're spilling cheese shit all over yourself and your 4XL shirt.
Yeah, he was selling shirts.
Yeah, 3XL, and they were too small for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm wearing a 4X.
That's true.
I couldn't just... What, do you expect me to pour into one of those?
And no.
A sexy body?
You'd be like the Blue Meanie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm wearing one that's just a little too small. Yeah, we got up, we got our photos with him, you know, sat there, and at the end, right at the end of the photo, you just get up, and he goes, hi, how are you? And
yeah.
Said, thank you, very good, thank you, sir. He stood up there and got the picture,
yeah.
You know, and then I just turned to him and said, thank you, sir, and fuck Russo. And he goes, you know, I think that's a good idea. And I couldn't tell if he meant he would like to have sex with him, or he just agreed that the guy's an asshole.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell his reaction.
But, yeah, he poured through everybody very quickly, got their picture taken. It wasn't a lot of chit-chat time, but that's fine. You just, you get that, and off you go. So it was very, very much enjoyable.
Yeah. Keep talking for a second. I need to grab myself another spoon.
We're
going to
talk about the news of the week.
Yeah, there's a couple big things here. A
couple big things.
So not your penis.
Hmm? No. Buck Zumoff's penis, though. But rock and roll Buck Zumoff. It has been apparently 12 charges of molesting his daughter, who was 15, apparently. Between the ages of 15 and 27, apparently this happened. So from about the year 2000, or 1999, 2000, to about 2011 or so, so from the age of 15 to 27, he was having a sexual relationship.
At least she's 29
daughter.
Now.
Yeah, but it ended 2 years ago, apparently.
So even when she was well into adulthood?
The investigation, I guess.
Oh, the investigation.
Was like she
okay.
complained or did whatever. Because she's... I guess he was, you know, stuff like... it was a really messed up situation. Like, he would tell her, you know, if you ever leave me, I'll kill myself. Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of just this kind of mentally abusive relationship. I mean, this is a guy...
Really, yeah, and he didn't know his daughter when she was very young, so... for many years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so... But
right.
I think...
Great way to follow up. Mick Foley was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Now this guy rapes his daughter.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, statutorily.
Now, either way, though, the thing is... I'm sure it's 2013 here. Because you're no longer an asshole, right?
Right.
Going well?
It's going fantastic. Thank you for asking.
The end of May here.
The
you're
end
halfway
of May
through.
You
got 6 more months in you?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, what? Did you say 6 more mums?
And, well, that's the other thing, is you do realize that you can't, it's not just a one-year thing. You have to keep this up 2014, 20, the rest of your life.
Why? Well, maybe my New Year's resolution next year will be to become an asshole.
And that will also happen immediately.
Exactly. And we'll get a lot of cards and letters from my support. But probably more. But
back into rock and roll, Buck Zumoff. I think you're probably more familiar with him because you saw him quite a bit in AWA, and I remember seeing him a couple times. He did work as a jobber, some didn't he as well?
Well, in
WWE,
even in the AWA, he was basically a jobber.
Yeah,
and he was kind of like a jobber to the stars with a gimmick. And then by the end, when the AWA was dying, he was getting some wins. But I mean, he had come out with this giant boombox, and this is the sort of Vern Gagne being out of touch in the '80s situation where he's rock and roll Buck Zumoff, where he should be playing Motley Crue or Guns N' Roses or something, and he's got him out there playing like Ramalama, Ding Dong, Buddy Holly, you know, 1950s rock and roll music.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty progressive for Vern Gagne.
That was actually he was hip then.
Yeah,
well, he had one anyway. But no, and then I mean he actually was. In one of Triple H's in WWF, he wasn't rock and roll Buck Zumoff. He was just Buck Zumoff.
Yeah,
but he did one of Triple H's early jobs,
that's
where
right, yeah.
Triple H actually didn't use the pedigree as a finisher. He used the stunner as the finisher very early on. His first couple television matches. He
what
used,
type is not a Steve Stone Cold Steve Austin stunner?
Yeah,
right?
An ace crusher. Yeah,
did he?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
And
that I don't recall.
I believe I don't know if Bart Zuboff took the pedigree by that time, or because there's a couple matches where it kind of overruns. I believe his television debut was against Buck Zuboff, and his Raw debut was against John Crystal, because they have them both on a couple of his earlier DVDs or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so I'm pretty sure that was it. Is that Buck Zuboff was on Superstars, and then the Raw thing was Crystal. But I'm pretty sure the Superstars, he used an Ace Crusher. Okay. A pedigree, or a stunner, briefly, but which I'm sure was Diamond Dallas Page's influence.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah,
yeah.
No, and so I mean that really is it's a pretty sick and disgusting.
Well, here's the thing
story.
About it. All you can really hope when you hear something like this is that he didn't further ruin other young women's lives, but though we haven't heard about it, it's difficult to imagine that he didn't.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he did at least, well, that's true, because it started in about the year 2000, right?
Yeah.
99,
so it's difficult to imagine that there wasn't somebody else who may or may not come forth whose life he ruined and influenced him negatively, especially since, let's be 100% honest, wrestling in the era he came up in, incest was not, of course, accepted, but sex with...
banging underage chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
was not as uncommon as you wish you would like to hear, right?
No, exactly. I mean, it was the Jerry Lawler Appreciation Club, really. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah. So that I don't know about ruining or whatnot. I mean, this was kind of sounded like a pretty sick kind of relationship that's definitely going to sort of ruin and scar.
He's a pathetic yeah. man, right?
And it's really going to ruin this poor daughter's.
But this is the first step towards closure for her, though. This is the first step towards healing, seeing him in jail for the rest of his life. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, and that's what it is. I mean, he's almost 60 now.
Yeah.
And so that's I guess with 12 counts, that's the point, I guess, really, is to put him away for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
So.
And it sounds like they'll be able to. I mean, it sounds like the evidence is pretty. They're pretty confident.
Yeah. So that's pretty.
That's pretty
disgusting.
Much
yeah.
Now, who was the other Buck that died this week?
Buck Robley.
Mm-hmm.
One of
the irony. His name is Buck in the same week.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away. Booker down in the southern, mainly working in the southern territories of the United States.
Yeah, best known for probably mid south. The best thing he could be compared to, you're going to lose some of your froster towards me there. The best thing that...
No, I hate you, fucker.
I know. Well, you're welcome. Jesus Christ. The best... I guess the best example, or the best comparison I could make is in the Mid-South with Buck Robley, who was a wrestler for a time. Kind of... I guess I heard him compared to kind of Necro Butcher in terms of physique and build and look. But he booked the Mid-South in sort of its heyday, I guess, its peak.
Well, certainly, I mean, Mid-South, like every territory is up and down, but he was a booker when they drew 28,000.
Yeah, in Louisiana there.
Louisiana, yeah.
For the Michael Hayes JYD match. Mm-hmm. And that was their peak. From a financial perspective, that was their peak. And he was booking at that point, and he was...
I mean, obviously, anytime you say he's booking, Bill Watts was there, too. Right?
So. Well, Bill Watts, and that's where I was going with this, is that him and Bill Watts and Robley had a lot of ideas, and Bill Watts always sort of tapered them and used logic with them and really kind of would throw out a lot of the ideas. And so a lot like a Vince Russo-Vince McMahon relationship.
Mm-hmm.
In that Bruiser Brody, one of his, you know, I remember reading in I think it was the Barbara Goodich and Larry Matisic book, Brody always thought really highly of Buck Robley and thought that he could do, you know, he always understood the Brody character and always come up with good ideas.
Yeah, Brody was always very comfortable being booked by Buck. But and the thing is, you have to understand, if you're not familiar with the territories, it's probably difficult for you to fathom, like, what a Brody is when he comes into a territory, like how much impact he could have on business.
Yeah.
These traveling acts. He was
well, really, because you don't hear the words impact and business put together anymore.
No. No. But I mean, it's not quite the same as when Rock comes back and you know, pops a few ratings or a few pay-per-view buys. Yeah. But it is that same idea. Is that you know, there was a few guys, and there was very few guys even in the independents, who they could count on. It's like, okay, he can be out of the territory for 6 months or a year. He can come back in for 3 months. For 3 months, we're going to do huge business. And Brody was one of those guys. So obviously that relationship.
Yeah, it was a little bit different than Andre, who was a traveling guy, and you would get you wouldn't get Andre for that long of a stay, where Brody you would, assuming you treated him right.
Yeah, Brody. I mean,
Stan Hansen.
Stan Hansen, Abdul the Butcher, is one that could come in and you know pop business for a short term.
Well, yeah, it was. He would come into a territory. Abdullah the Butcher would come in, and he'd really kind of he'd get over pretty big. And then they'd do some medical testing, and he'd leave. But right before the medical testing, actually, it's weird. But it's coincidence, I'm sure. But
you're referring to him getting hep or giving Hep C to Hannibal.
Yes. Yeah. That had nothing to do with the dirty needles and cocaine that he's known for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean Hannibal?
What? Hannibal's House of Ribs?
Yeah. Anyways.
But, anywho.
But, yeah, so, I mean, obviously those two stories. So his passing this week. How old was, what's his name again? Buck? What?
Robley.
Robley. How old was Robley?
I don't know.
Oh.
Do you?
No. And what did he die of?
I don't know. You?
Cancer?
No, he had cancer, Yeah. And his, I guess his wife had recently passed from cancer as well. So, you know, a lot like a pallbearer where, you know, it does take quite a toll on you when something like that happens. I don't want to say sort of takes away your will to live, but definitely you hear a lot of that when a significant other passes that, the, you know, the other person that's not not well doesn't last too long.
Okay, so in other news, obviously, is Kofi Kingston out for 4 to 8 weeks is what we're hearing, though we don't know for sure quite yet, I believe, because the surgery hasn't quite occurred yet, but it was pending. But Kofi Kingston out for a little while.
Yeah, it's like one of those situations where, was it his knee?
I thought it was his elbow.
Elbow, okay, yeah.
I believe it was his elbow.
And it's something where they said, they're saying the 1 to 2 months is kind of being thrown around, but until they kind of get in there and look around, you don't, they don't have a, you know, an exact time frame. It won't be really known until after the surgery.
No, and this is one of those situations where if he's only gone 4 weeks, he'll come back and get the same reaction he's always get. If he's gone 2 months, you might be able to do something a little more significant with him. If he's gone 2 months, then you can start building some vignettes, and you could come bring him back and turn him heel. Because I still just... He's got to, you know, otherwise he's stuck where he is forever.
Yes.
And that's one thing that that is, the WWE is very comfortable having guys stuck where they are forever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like they don't even think, hey, if we turn this guy and give him a different personality and a different feud, maybe he gets over big. It used to be, you know, hey, we believe in this guy's talent. He's not getting over. Let's turn him. Or give him a new gimmick. Now it's just like, oh, you know, he's so that's the level he can get to. And that's and they just settle in there. And so I mean it's 1 month probably isn't enough to do that. Unless you're gonna keep him on TV to some fashion and have him become a guy who's bitter over all the opportunities he hasn't been given, which is the storyline to turn Toby.
Obviously. It is, but they don't ever use it.
No, they don't.
They don't know that story. That's not a WWE comfort level storyline. You know, they've got their Pat storylines, and that's
where all of a sudden he just comes out and attacks somebody and doesn't explain why.
Yeah.
Or just or saves somebody and doesn't explain why,
and then runs over Santa Claus.
But if he's gone, yeah, exactly. If he's gone to a huge reaction, though they edited it differently. But yeah, I mean, it's I'd like to see him do that. I mean, if he's out long enough, even if he's only out a month, you can keep him out a little bit longer if you're going to build a storyline.
Yes.
So why not do that? You have time now to come up with something creatively for him. Because he's gone. And you go, okay, so we have a talent here on the sidelines. And he is a talent. And Kofi Kingston's a talented guy. He's still, you know, he's hitting his prime. Mm-hmm. So let's try and do something with him. We have time to come up with it. Now, like you say, you don't trust that they will.
No. I mean, why should anybody?
No, because, you know, most times when people come back, they are the exact same.
Yeah. Well, that, and they said they've got their path. you know, stories or pat ways that they like to do things, and they're all at this point predictable, and again they need a little bit of a shake up, but we're not going to get one. So Kofi, probably I just see him coming back, and you know, and
well, you know, like I say, they've done quite a bit good in pushing and introducing young talent over the last while. That said,
yeah,
the combination of just having people wrestle each other too many times in a row in a short period, combined with storylines that still aren't fresh or not, you know, like you say, won't leave a comfort zone, is holding them back to a large degree.
And
they have one belt too many.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing I was going to mention,
you really got to get rid of that U.S. belt. I'm convinced that's what they got to do.
Yeah, they got to combine the U.S. and Intercontinental.
Wouldn't even do that. I would just...
Well, the only reason that I would is because Dean Ambrose is holding it, and I'd rather just have Dean Ambrose be the Intercontinental Champion.
I would just... You know what I would do with Dean Ambrose? I would have him defend it for a month or two, and then I'd have him come out and go, you know, we're here for the justice and this and that, you know, the Hounds of Justice.
Yeah, the Hounds of Justice.
And U.S. is where, you know, we come to the WWE because all these people, there is no justice for all these people, and you still don't understand us. That's because the United States doesn't have any justice. The United States keeps people down, just like the WWE.
Yeah.
And because this is representative of you people, I don't want it anymore. And just have them throw it in the garbage can. Quite honestly, or whatever, or just give it away, or give it to a fan. Is actually what I'd have him do, a fan, you know, and have him run off with it, and then I would just have him go after Cena and the World Title.
Yeah,
that's what I would do. This would be like I'm going after the world, and this will give me the real power and to make a change in the WWE. That's what I do with Ambrose.
Yeah,
I don't even give him, you know, because I think he's above this. He is above the U.S. Intercontinental level. I don't want to see him stuck there too long.
I have a couple of thoughts with Kofi though, and that's that. With Kofi gone, you're right, they're talking about pushing new stars, but it does bring them down an established guy. Does this open the door for Christian to return?
It's very possible.
To kind of take that
role
over,
it's very possible, because, I mean, let's face it, they haven't had anything for him.
And,
which is weird, because there's a lot of guys they don't have anything for, but they still have them on TV.
That's right.
But it is said, I mean, it is better that they want to have something for somebody before they bring him on TV.
Yes.
That said, if you just have Christian on every single week doing great matches, if every single week I knew I was going to get, maybe not against each other, but Christian and Antonio Cesaro on main event against somebody different every single week and great matches, I'd be happy with that.
Well,
but it may not do anything for business, but I'd be happy with that.
And
but
on
again,
the road.
At least on the road, yeah. Get these, you know, like, you know, if a Roman Reigns was working every single night on the road or a one-on-one match with Christian, he's going to learn a hell of a lot.
Exactly. And that's one of those things. I mean, and the other thing that
Big E.
Yeah. I mean, those guys, and bringing Christian in, the other thing I think of is with Kofi being out then, if he is going to be out for sort of an extension outside of the 2 months, does he then receive the Christian treatment?
It's possible.
You know, where they got to wait for them to have something, and he's held off for ages.
It's possible. I mean, Mark Henry was somebody we also saw held off for a long time.
That's true, and Mark Henry's the guy that we're going to see held off for another long time.
Oh, yeah, that's because they're pissed at him for getting hurt again.
Yes.
Is he or isn't he having surgery? I don't know.
Yeah, apparently he's not. He just kind of...
Are you sure?
Yeah, well, I guess that's the story right now. No one really quite knows, but...
Look, you've got a 40-year-old guy who's that size.
Yeah.
He's just going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt, and you can't blame him for that. He has a different body type. And he's not really meant to travel. He should be a special attraction. He should have 6 matches a year. That's what you do him for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's not somebody who's going to be able to, at his age and size and body type, be able to take a nightly bumps. And also, let's face it, you risked injuring him greatly when you had him pull those trucks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All that stuff.
You put him at great risk.
Yes.
He accomplished it, but you put him at great risk.
Yeah.
So to sit there and be pissed at him for actually legitimately getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and yes, okay, he's fragile, but you know what?
Yeah.
You got to understand that he's going to be his age, a 40-year-old guy, like I say, his body type and everything. He's going to be fragile.
Well, you got to just throw up the X.
So you use him. So you book him in a way that protects him from these possible injuries and maximizes his potential.
And they're pissed because they had an idea for him and they had a storyline all planned and he's left. And apparently that's where why the Big E AJ thing is getting pushed ahead. Is because Big E's going to get the Mark Henry spot.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think he will. And I'll tell you exactly why. because he's not over. He, if they put Big E, let me tell you, Big E is not over.
No, God, no. We watched it,
and it's not just here. He is just, Mark Henry's over to a large degree.
Yeah.
And Big E, understandable, well, right?
Whatever, it's been 17 years now.
Yeah, exactly. Big E is not over. The worst way to think that you're going to all of a sudden give him a push and get him over is to give him a girlfriend who's not over. Well, and this is it. I mean, you don't have a single diva. I mean, we talk about pathetic the Divas division is.
Yeah.
You don't have a single diva who's over. AJ's the most over, and she's about, a third as over as she was at this time 1 year ago?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I think their most potential for divas to get over would probably be the Bellas with the personality.
I don't think so.
Just with the personality, but not in the ring. So
I don't think the Bellas will ever get over it. They're just not. I don't think they're stars. Honestly, I just don't think that they. I don't think the personality will get over.
I think they got a good personality. I think that Divas show will show that personality.
I don't think so.
But
I don't think anybody's going to watch
it. So that's the thing.
I think that show will have minimal crossover. Of all the shows they've ever done, that might have the least crossover.
Yeah,
appeal.
That's
that
true.
Show could be a hit and just do nothing for them in any other way. But again, I mean, I think the one who has the most potential to get over, like based on what they did with Natalya, if she shows up, is I think she could get over as somebody's people could relate to as an underdog. But again, they don't have anybody.
I don't think so. Maybe you're wrong because
people might think she's too pathetic.
No, but to get over as an underdog, you have to have an establish, and they don't have that. So they don't. If they don't have that, then who's she underdogged from?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? It's like.
But I think they feel sorry for her. Like Caitlin Spears. Or
no one's going to feel sorry for. No one's going to cheer for Barry Horowitz just because he's fighting Iron Mike Sharp.
No, that's true.
You know, big deal, right? So
that's true.
That's why the Red Rooster never got over his feud with the Brawler.
Yeah, well, he's also the Red fucking Rooster.
He was also having a red mohawk. Yes,
yeah, exactly, and you know, doing that strut thing. It was just
But and the music was awesome.
I'll give you that.
Yes,
and Cock of the Walk. But again, so I don't think Big E gets over because they give him the women's champion. She's had the belt for what, since December?
You don't think Big E gets over because they give him the women's championship?
Yeah, no, the women's champion as on his arm, basically. But she's had the belt for since what? December?
December, I think.
So we're looking at a half a year of her as champion, and she's not any more over than she was. And that says a lot.
I think she's a little bit more over. She's because she was barely on TV. From the time she accidentally won that battle royal.
I think she was probably more the night she took on and won the belt. I think she's more over than she is tonight. Because there was a storyline then for the following weeks between her and Eve.
Yeah, I think year over year. Because one year ago
she was nothing. But she's not over at all. So if you put her and Big E together, guess what? It'll do nothing for either one of them.
Oh, I see what you mean with the secret admirer gimmick. Yes.
Yeah, it's going to do nothing.
No.
Big E's not going to get... You can't give him Caitlyn as his girlfriend and go...
No.
Well, she's not going to give him a rub. It's not like giving him, like, you know... I mean, in theory, giving AJ to Ziggler, at least I could see why they think that would give Ziggler a bit of a rub, right? Or back in the day when you would give, you know, Alita to, you know, a Matt Hardy or whatever. I could see why you would think that would give him a rub. Because she was over to a degree. Caitlyn's nothing. And every time they force her to act or do one of these backstage skits, it makes her less over because people realize how terrible she is.
Oh, yeah.
She's more terrible at that than she is in the ring. She's not very good in the ring.
No.
But then again, it's the worst Divas division
ever. Yeah.
So...
Speaking of former Divas with former Divas, did you hear what John Morrison's doing?
No.
He's filming a movie currently called Get Justice.
Uh-huh.
And one of his fight scenes is against Tiny Lister.
Wow.
Yeah, we're getting John Morrison
again. I thought Tiny Lister was in jail.
We're getting John Morrison against Zeus.
I thought Tiny Lister was in jail.
I know. Wasn't he going to go to jail for tax evasion or something?
Yeah. I thought he was in jail for a long time.
They're filming a movie in Oklahoma, apparently.
I have to look into that, actually, because I'm quite sure he is still. But, or maybe he's still pending. Who knows? These things can take a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, they do kind of take a while.
I mean, it took a while with Wesley Snipes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And hey, that's what they got. Isn't tax evasion what they eventually got, what's his name? Al Capone on?
Yeah, 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 that's right.
So there you go.
That's finally how they. That's finally how you get them, eh?
Yeah. One of the things that we miss somehow just in the craziness, well, other than Brian saying to Kane, you're just Kane. That was awesome, but somehow when just kind of we came out of there, it was, like I said, we'd been there almost 5 hours. We were a little burned out, but when we left Raw
on better Monday, to do that than fade away.
That's right, but we somehow missed talking about the Wyatt family, the first promo.
Yes.
Video.
And we talked about it a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we were talking about it on the live audio commentary and stuff with the Wyatts. And yet in that moment, you know, when they're finally seeing it, we kind of missed it, which is interesting. Because that it worked. And I don't I haven't watched Raw yet, so I don't know how well it worked on the television for people at home. Oh. But I can tell you, in that arena, when that promo played, that was the only time all night that everybody was
fixated on one thing.
Because you had a lot of mini chants and people starting to start chants and people talking to this person over here and this person. But at that point, everybody was focused on that screen, quiet, and when that promo ended, there was a little murmur through the audience.
Yeah, all that happened on the television, because I went back and watched, was it was like their promo, like it was on TV, it was like they're coming or whatever. And then they immediately, because it was weird for us watching it live, is that we got to see the Rhodes Scholars entrance, then they did the promo.
Yeah.
Whereas the Rhodes Scholars entrance wasn't on television, it was on the commercial or on the app or whatever. So they basically what it was is coming back from break. That was the like Orton and Sheamus did the ring. They went to commercial. They come back from commercial and they played the promo, and all they largely ignored it except for Jerry. They just when they came back out of the promo, well, it was Rhodes Scholars were standing there, and Lawler said something like, "Oh, you'd hate to take a wrong turn and end up in their neck of the woods," and that was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind that. And as long as the video is that effective. And let me tell you, it was like the whole audience went into a trance. They were, which is exactly, I mean, that's part of this.
That's
funny,
because that's
almost a gimmick, right?
It is the gimmick.
What's the last time you saw a gimmick this good? And what's the best? We see gimmicks all the time, but I mean, when's the last time?
Mankind?
Maybe Mankind? Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it could be. I'm trying to think of another one that's, like, anywhere.
I enjoyed the John Cena M&M gimmick.
It was entertaining, but it wasn't this good. It was good because Paul Heyman was writing good raps for him.
Yeah.
You know? But it wasn't as good. You know?
Yeah.
A gimmick. It was just, you know, it was fun. But this is like a true, like, you know.
Well, Mankind's the best comparison because it's got a similar feel to it.
Well, that's the other thing. That's what I actually want to talk about. We saw that they are bringing up
the family,
Brody Lee, and what's their names again?
Eric Rowan,
yeah. Which I like, and they even let them talk for just a little bit, and they added these masks that they were wearing.
And just one of them was wearing
because
he was singing "Mary Had a Little." He was Mary had a little lamb, so he had a lamb mask on. That's what it was. Yeah.
And
that actually gave him a little bit of personality because he's the one that's lacking.
Yeah, well, it gave him a little personality, but also it could have been stupid, but it really was effective.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the reasons I like this. Not only is it just a great gimmick, and the guy really understands it. Like, they don't have to write for Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt knows what to do already.
Yeah.
I'm worried they will. You know, obviously.
Of course they will, eventually.
But did they write for this promo or not? I don't know. And this was totally effective.
Well, most of the promo was old.
That's true.
And then there were a few new things.
But they were effective, too.
And they talked.
Yeah.
The Rowan and Lee talked.
Yeah.
Which was not a lot.
Not a lot, but I liked it, actually.
We are the things that walk upright.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, your mother warned you about eventually those things that come up, and then you don't have to worry about them until they start walking upright.
Yeah.
And then they said, we are the things that walk up. We are those things that walk upright or whatever, you know. But
it has a feel like I don't know the last time a gimmick debuted or existed that scared kids.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a good thing.
This is like a Paul Bearer type thing, right? Where people were scared.
Mankind. People were scared. People, he really scared kids.
Yeah.
And that's good. this is good. This is something, and that's the other thing I like it. This does not feel like, okay, we saw John Cena, the opening segment, say ass. So I guess they're not in the total, you know, this is for kids mode.
But they told, I'm trying to think of the last time I think the kids were scared was when, remember they used to try to have Linda act?
Now they have Caitlin act, and that's frightening.
Yeah.
No, but quite honestly, this is the act that it does not, like the PG era that we've been in,
mm-hmm.
this to me, I'm not saying it's attitude era. What I'm saying is that it doesn't feel like something that's for kids.
Yeah.
It feels like something that is PG-13 and maybe a little, it's just, it's scary and there's a creepiness to it. And part of it, them wearing those masks, and it's like you have a guy who is a hillbilly.
Yeah.
But is very smart and charismatic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who can control these guys who believe all his crap and they're big and dangerous. And because they'll do whatever he says, they'll have no compulsions to not commit any heinous act.
Yeah.
So it comes, and because he's totally immoral, he loves this. And it comes across as something that is, it comes across, it has a real feel to it.
It does.
You know? It doesn't feel like a gimmick. It has a creepiness.
And he was there.
Yeah.
In Calgary and Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't used on TV. He wasn't there. But he
was in the house shows the couple nights before. He was doing dark matches.
Matches, yeah.
In like Red Deer and Lethbridge and Medicine Hat, these places.
Yeah.
When they were touring. That's what's really, though, to me, that's what's compelling about it is it's not a gimmick for the PG WWE in that cookie cutter fashion.
No, it's not.
You know?
This isn't, yeah.
This is. And when he says we're the new faces of fear, other than pissing Hunico off, you know, you believe it. Like this, there is.
Why would he piss Hunico off?
Not Hunico, Camacho.
Oh, Camacho, yes.
Camacho, because he's the son of Haku.
Of Haku.
Meng.
Yes.
And faces of fear. But,
What was the other one there? The TNA chick. Lena Tape or whatever.
Yeah,
piss
yeah,
her
yeah.
off, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Barbarian's niece.
Barbarian's niece. That's not the bastards. But, yeah, so that's it. That's what's so exciting about it. It totally worked. And, like...
Sorry. It's Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
Luke Harper, yeah. They changed the name from Brody Lee to...
No, Brody Lee was Eric Rowan, I think. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, but either way, it's... If they do it right and it's off to a right start, it's going to be over huge. I think he's going to be a massive star.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be good. And
we've been talking about him for a long time, waiting for us. So.
Oh, I know, yeah. And it's Bo Rotunda was also there. He came out on Bret Hart Appreciation Day and stood on the stage when they panned the thing. Yeah, he came out. I was like, oh.
Okay.
Interesting.
So his brother was there as well.
We were correct in the... in the assessment that's why Jack Swagger wasn't there because he couldn't get into Canada.
Yeah, he couldn't get into Canada. Yeah.
Hunter, we didn't talk about Hunter because all they did on TV
mm-hmm.
was they just did an announcer update about Triple H's condition.
Yeah, he's going to be there next week.
We didn't hear live.
Yeah.
So we didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
But I guess the deal is that they really thought that this would garner some interest. With him doing the whole collapsing and stuff, they really thought that was going to happen, and it didn't, so they've kind of dropped where they were going.
Well, of course it didn't, because it was obviously phony.
Well, it's not even though it was obviously phony. It's just something, it's that thing we've talked about again a million times, is that Hunter doesn't have that connection.
Well, it was partially that Hunter doesn't have that connection, but it's also, I mean, we've seen it a million times,
mm-hmm.
and it just, this, I don't know. But yeah, definitely you're right. To a large degree, it doesn't have that connection. Because when it did with Sean, it was more effective. That was many, many years ago, but it was more mm-hmm. effective.
Right.
But it's also, once again, when Dolph Ziggler has this legit, it's also kind of, you know,
yeah.
you have to give him take that seriously. So, anything else you want to add here to this, or are we pretty much done?
The Bray Wyatt thing, or just in general?
Just in general.
Oh, I just a couple more news items.
Okay.
Actually, a few more news items. Dolph Ziggler is going to be taking the Impact test on Monday.
I'm sorry, he's going
to
watch it?
He's going to have to, yeah. He's going to put it on Monday, so they're going to know if he's good to go for the pay-per-view or not at that point. So there's that. Warner Brothers.
Oh, the Flintstones.
Yes.
They're doing another cartoon just like they did with Scooby-Doo. It's not bad for the WWE. Let me tell you, though, the Flintstones don't mean much now, except for Fruity Pebbles.
Well, that was the auspices of the tie-in or the reason behind it, I would think.
Yeah, exactly.
My only suggestion is that Mae Young is involved somehow. And
Mae Young?
Mae Young.
is... So she actually was back then?
Yes. That should be the gimmick. And they should go... They should just, in the background, have, like, going by, like, an arena or something, and, like, Hulk Hogan's name has to be, like, the headline. I just think those subtle things would make...
That'd be funny, hilarious. Yeah.
Wanted to mention about the Impact as well. A couple of TNA...
Let's just say this. The rating, of course, what was it you predicted? 2.4? 2.6? What was it you predicted?
I think I said 2.4. You said 2.6.
And it was a 2.8?
And it was a 2.7.
It was a 2.7? But it's still like the lowest of the year.
No, second lowest of the year. That's the amazing part. Is even on Memorial Day in the States, that May 6th edition, it was still had more viewers than that.
Wow.
So there were still, not a lot more, like 50,000 more or something.
But it did.
But it did.
Yeah.
That was the rating. So, I mean, it's a holiday again. So we'll take that what you will. Dixie Carter sent out a tweet that the ink is still dry on a big free agent signing and will be debuting soon.
A big free agent signing means that they have signed somebody who is a former WWE star. Because there's no other big free agent signings out there.
No, that's right.
So it means they've signed a bit former, and there's no former WWE star.
Who means anything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yes, it's a big signing compared to, they bring in Chris Masters, he has more visibility than Magnus. But it's not a ratings change or a game changer.
The only guy that's out there that you could put, again, I don't think is going to change anything, but you could put the star moniker on, or the big star moniker on, that's a free agent, is Batista.
Yes.
And it ain't Batista. He's going to be in England filming a movie the summer.
No, he's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. It's going to be that's going to be the next big Marvel Comics movie.
Because he's going to England to film it in, like the end of, like, if he's not there already.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. We should ask some of our, if you are living in England, have you seen a very large man who appears to be high walking around on your streets without a shirt on?
No shirt on, yes.
If you have, that means Batista is currently there.
Batista is there. Yes. Oh, God. The only other TNA... No, so we'll wait and see on this. I mean, I don't know if they do something on Slam a Motherfuckingversary or they wait till Impact.
Hoping to watch, you know, a little bit up in the air.
We don't know. It's...
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean...
What were we going to say?
I was going to say Stevie Ray Vaughan is dead. And we can't get John Bon Jovi in the helicopter. Come on, folks.
Now, what were you going to say about TNA?
Well, TNA, my last note is about Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
That they announced that Bound for Glory is going to be October 20th in San Diego.
Where Hulk Hogan will be inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame.
Yes. Yes, that's probably it.
Before Jeff Jarrett.
Yes. Well, why wouldn't you? But yeah, it's going to be in San Diego.
Yeah.
So, you know, which makes sense, because you're in the backyard of Hulk Hogan from Venice Beach, California, brother.
I suppose. All right, so let's go out one more time. Something funny or something, thoughts on the Mick Foley show. Let's end with Foley here, but first do the plugs.
Mm-hmm. We are on Stitcher.
Yes, we are.
Stitcher, there. You can find us on Stitcher. A great way to listen to the show on a mobile device or just on iTunes. And go We Talk Wrestling, just type wrestling in there, and we would love if you would give us a rating, a preferably a good rating, and just leave a comment there, because that does help us out, and actually it helps us out in the iTunes world too, and gets us sort of up in the rankings there, so more people can check it out too. So it is helpful that way. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. We're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter, and WeTalkWrestling.com, the website. @ WeTalkWrestling.com, and breathe.
Yeah, and I just want to say before we go OUT on this particular episode as well, we probably will be getting to, we know, at least one or two Twitter questions next week.
Yes.
So on Twitter or that email, @WeTalkWrestling.com, you can send a question. We'll probably get to a couple questions next week.
We should be.
So again, this is the night where we came to see Mick Foley, so I want to end with Mick Foley, because that's what this whole show is kind of about while we're recording it here.
Yes.
So one more time, final thoughts or final comment or final story or whatever.
I think my final thought was, again, it was exactly kind of what I expected in terms of him being up there and telling stories. And again, they were all great. We had great seats, so we were sitting pretty much like right there You know, he was, you know, 10 feet away from us, basically, and then so that was great. And just to sit there and listen to all those stories were just hilarious. To me, it made me have a nice day.